For the given sermon text tonight is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 11. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Good evening, brethren. This evening, Brother Gibbon's topic is what kind of ordained ministries are in the church. To introduce this topic, I just wanted to speak a few words about what it means to be ordained. What does it mean to be ordained? According to the Cambridge Dictionary, ordained is defined to make someone officially a priest, minister, or rabbi in a religious ceremony. But the ordaining we are talking about tonight isn't just a ceremony. According to dictionary.com, it also means to decree or give orders for. One of the definitions defined it speaking of God, and it said to destine or predestine. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. Really, God is the one who is doing the choosing. Men are ordained by other men just because they decided they should be. And the men ordaining them isn't what gave them the ability or wisdom to minister. There are times in the Bible when the word was used this way, where a person was ordained by another man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:17, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." But this wasn't just something the men ordained and Paul decided. The Lord called these men. The Lord gave men their gifts, and Paul to see them. His ordaining was done because he recognized the gift of God in them. When I was preparing this, when me and Brother Matthew were talking about it, I saw an example of how this works when I was dedicated to Brother Gibbon's introductions. The Lord gave me an ability and a gift that I didn't see. But Brother Gibbon saw that gift, and the brethren who dedicated me were used by God to help ordain me to this ministry. But it wasn't their power or wisdom that gave me ability. God did, and they saw it and prayed that so I would be able to see it too and walk in it.
Amen.
This is how who does what in the church is decided. Men do not decide on their own who should do what in the church. Jesus does, because he uses men to do it. Jesus has decided who should be given what gifts, and the Apostle Paul was given to see and write about these gifts. And he was given to see who should be ordained as the elders in the churches that he preached to. There are two scriptures which are Brother Gibbon's main texts that talk about all the different ways that God uses his people in the church. I'm going to read the one in Romans for us to better see this. In Romans 12:4-8 it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Mm-hmm. There are, These are just some of the ways which God has gifted men to minister: preaching, teaching, exhorting, giving to one another, and showing of mercy. In conclusion, Jesus is building his church, but he isn't just working with each person by themselves. He is using all of his people together in different ways so that everyone's gift will work together and make the church prepared to be his bride. Amen. The church is called the body of Christ, and just like our bodies have different parts, which all work with each other, the church is made up of parts that minister together to do the work Jesus has planned or ordained for them to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Seth. Amen. It's important to me that children learn to think above the capacity of children. There's examples in Scripture of children like this. Some people like to keep their children as long as they can. Actually, you should do so as short as you can, so they can grow up with an understanding of God. Now, our subject tonight is a critical one, because it's considerable is devoted to this in the Scripture. In the body of Christ, it is Christ's body. It's not ours. Yeah. And the government of God is upon it. Now, men have tried to usurp this, understand. And there's religious institutions that have tried to determine who and what, who works in the church and to what capacity, but they're out of order.
Yeah.
In the building of his church, Jesus isn't just amassing a group of people together. That's not what he's doing. Each person maintaining their own personal skills and this sort of, and interest and this sort of thing. All of the offices in the church, and there are offices in the church. Everybody's not the same. Everybody's not on equal level. Everybody doesn't do the same thing. Some people are over other people. This is just the way it is. People made you don't have a choice whether you like it or not. The offices are created by Christ, and none of them can be taken by usurpation. That is, somebody can't bump someone else out and take their place. I mean, that's not the way the body of Christ is. Men can't create any office in the church. None. They can't. But see, there's a lot of offices in the church today that weren't created by God.
Yeah.
For instance, Israel had a high priest. He was the chief person in Israel. And everybody that did something for God was a priest. The Levitical priesthood did it all. Nobody else did anything that pertained to God except to offer the sacrifices and that sort of thing, but personal sacrifices. But God was establishing how he organizes things, so to speak. The whole tribe of Levi was devoted to serving God. All the singers were Levites. All the high priest was from the tribe of Levi. The ones that ministered in the outer court were from the tribe of Levi. Ones that offered sacrifices were from Levi. The singers were from Levi. The one that kept the table, the courts, they were from Levi. See, the Levites did it all. Now, in the body of Christ, the members of the body are like Levites. Word of Israel. Now, the ministry's gifts, however you want to call them, they're the means of maintaining the church. The church doesn't run on autopilot. The church is not a social institution. For instance, let me use two terms the Savior used. You are the salt of the earth. Now, exactly what does that mean? People have pointed out that salt is a preservative. Well, that is so. What does it mean? What did he mean when he said, "You are the salt of the earth"? I will tell you what he means. The people of God are why the earth remains. There's what preserving the earth. If there wasn't any of God's people here, the earth wouldn't be here. Salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. What's that mean? It means this is God's means of identifying the real things to the world. The church influences communities, I know that, but that's not its primary association. For instance, now God illustrated what he meant by these things. The prophets and John the Baptist did not minister to the world. Now, if you know your scriptures, you know this is the case. Neither one of them ministered to the world. They just ministered to God's people. That's it. It's portrayed in Israel. Israel didn't go all through the world evangelizing, so to speak. They didn't. You can draw whatever conclusions you want. I'm just stating the facts. Just stating the facts to you. They weren't trying to make the world better. In fact, God gave them their own country. Said, don't be mingling with those other nations. He told them what he told them. Of course, if they wanted to come to them, that's another story. Yet the people are emitting enough light so people come to them. That's another. I'm talking about Israel now. And it's portrayed in Jesus. I'm showing now Jesus was the light of the world, but he didn't even go in all the world. He didn't travel to Italy or to Greece or to Arabia or to Syria. Yet he's the light of the world, but that's not where he went. Interesting, isn't it? Of course, there are people that would come to him because he could shine the light from where he was at. He didn't have to go over some other country to shine the light. Anyone that heard about him, it was in another country, went down there, they would come. They knew about him because they heard about him. Now, the church is much like this. The church is not a group of ambassadors to the rest of the world. Now, I understand that they go into all the world and preach the gospel. I understand that. But they do that at the Savior's behest, not at their own. Stated doctrinally, here's how the Lord stated it. He gave some, to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, those are proclaimers, some pastors and teachers. That's one office, pastor/teacher. Pastor/teacher. Why did he give them? evangelists are in there. Now, why did he give those? For the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
This is what he said. Now, this is just what he said. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Amplify that. For the body, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's that for? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're not there yet. Everybody understands this yet. The unity of the faith has not yet been realized among us. Or the unity of the Son of God. It has not yet been realized. We're moving in that direction, but that's why these gifts are in the churches, so that will come to pass.
Amen.
Unto a perfect man, that is, the body becomes a perfect man. Jesus is a perfect, there's a new man. There's a new man, Jew and Gentile man. And the body of Christ is a perfect man, see?
Yeah.
So a perfect man. Under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, whatever you are, equates to what Jesus is in regard to that. See? If you're an apostle, Jesus is an apostle too. Apostle and high priest of our profession. You need to be an apostle like he's an apostle. Your prophet, you need to be a prophet like he's a prophet. You're a teacher, you need to be a teacher like he's a teacher. See? If you edify, you edify like he edifies. That's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure of your success is Christ himself as regards that function. That we all, and why is this necessary? That we henceforth be no more children. Believe me when I tell you, brethren, I know you know this, but it does need to be said. Juvenility is out of place in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I know it exists, but it can't remain in existence. A person has to grow out of it. They have to grow out of it.
Amen.
This is not an option. Why do they have to grow out of it? Because if they don't, they'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay a lie in wait to deceive. That's why. So you tell me in the context of that, why is there such an emphasis on reaching people that are not in Christ? And exactly where is that emphasis in Scripture? I'm talking about emphasis now. I'm not talking about doing it. I'm talking about an emphasis. Whereby the lion we did deceive, but speaking the truth. Wait. You mean speaking the truth is connected with growing up? Yes?
Yes, amen.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Speaking the truth is associated with being full grown, growing up in Christ. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now there you have the divine strategy all mapped out. And it's actually pretty plain, and it makes a lot of sense. It's just that there's not a lot of talk about this because you can't like build a career on that text.
Yeah.
You can't build a thriving institution on that text. That's not what it's for. The church is being prepared for another world.
Amen.
In this world are strangers and pilgrims. And if you do witness to others, and you should. You should witness as a pilgrim and a stranger, not as a citizen of the earth. You don't try and adapt to them. You say, well, I thought Paul said he became all things to all men. Well, yes, he did. But he wasn't talking about adapting to their likes. He said, if they're a Gentile, I'm not going to act like a Jew. Yeah. And if they're a Jew, I'm not going to conduct myself like a Gentile. Yeah. That's what he was talking about. Yeah. He wasn't talking about to an athlete, I'll pretend like I'm an athlete.
That's right.
And to a dancer, I'll pretend like I'm a dancer. So there are people that talk like this, but this isn't true. The church is commanded, 2 Corinthians 6:17, be ye separate.
Amen.
That's the same thing Israel was commanded, right?
Yes.
They were commanded the same thing. You separate.
Yes.
Don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't learn it. See? Separate. Now what I'm pointing out here is that the purpose of the ministries is to bring the church to where it's intended to be. And when it's there, God will use it.
Amen.
Now we've experienced some of that here. There's not a country that we know of at this present time where most of you by name are not known. Did you know that? There's people in foreign countries as far as the Antarctic that know many of you by name.
Yes.
We're not making the world better. That's not what we're here for. We're bringing the saints to perfection, some of which do not have the privilege of hearing some of the things we get to hear.
Yeah. That's right.
There's nobody there to bring them. So we're bringing them there by an electronic media that God has given us and put in our hands.
Amen.
We're bringing something to them. Nobody else is bringing them.
Amen.
What do you have to be to do that? You have to be grown up. You have to be grown up in Christ. You have to have an understanding and a grasp of the things of God, what this is all about, where this is going, why we're here. And that's what this is all about. Now the various gifts that were dispensed, I want to spend a little time there. This is the means now of preparing people for glory. That's what these gifts are for.
Yes.
These gifts are to help people grow up into Christ in all things. Gifts doesn't mean just like you're a good speaker.
Yes.
We're thankful for people that are good speakers. Yes. I mean, there's no glory in being a bad speaker. You understand that?
Yes.
But that's not what we're talking about here. These ministries are to prepare the people for glory, and they're approached from different angles in Scripture. Brother Seth read the text in Romans where they're viewed as gifts of faith or endowments of faith. First Corinthians refers to them as gifts of the Spirit. Let me deal with some of those first. Now, for in Ephesians, they're called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That speaks of the focus of their ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, that whole chapter deals with this. And it refers to gifts as gifts. Again, it refers to them as administrations. And again, it refers to them as manifestations. They're all talking about the same thing from different angles. Concerning spiritual gifts, this is 1 Corinthians 12:1. I would not have you ignorant. Well, praise the Lord. Some people don't mind you being ignorant. I'm serious. Some leaders don't mind you if you're ignorant about these. They don't mind at all. Paul says, I don't want you ignorant about this. About this. You know that the Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols even as they were led. This is a condition we're dealing with. Somebody's got to inform people what's going on in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. So this whole thing is being governed.
Amen. Amen.
Now there are diversities of gifts, different kinds, but the same Spirit. All right, there's involvement of the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all of the whole body. So here's that Holy Spirit's role, is he distributes the gifts and manifests the gifts. Where to one is by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom. That is not an independent word of wisdom, but a word of wisdom that's timely spoken. The word of wisdom is something that at that time, this thing needs to be spoken. It isn't someone that's just smart and just tells you what he got and what he knows. That's not it. It's that there's some people are gifted. When a circumstance arises, they're gifted to know what needs to be said.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are several of these among in our number.
Yes. Amen.
That every Lord's Day and times we meet, there are some people who deliver a word of wisdom.
Amen.
That's a gift.
Yeah.
That the Holy Spirit gives. To another, faith. This is not by faith, grace is saved through faith. It's not that kind of faith. It's this extraordinary kind of faith that has the ability to trust God when nobody else gets that idea. Some people know when to depend on Christ, when other people don't know when to do it. They have this gift of faith.
Amen.
Effectual faith. That's by the same, and another gift of healing. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. See, the Spirit is distributing these gifts. To another, the working of miracles. Well, God doesn't do that anymore. Who told you that? Who told you that God quit doing that? See, there's only certain circumstances in which God does this. Somebody with this gift has to be around, number one, for it to take place. There has to be a just reason for it to take place. To another, prophecy. They're able to proclaim. Now, this is forth-telling as compared to foretelling. That is, they know a certain word of God touches on this subject and they know what it is and they say, that's a gift. That's a gift from God. You've noticed that, haven't you? That some people have a capacity to bring a word of God to bear on something. You hadn't really thought about that, but as soon as they say it, you see it. That's a gift.
Yes. Amen.
Which means that in the church needs this kind of people.
Yeah.
And to another, diverse kinds of tongues or languages. Now, this isn't gibberish.
That's right.
Because Paul made quite clear to the Corinthians, if you don't understand what's being said, it shouldn't be said.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm only going to mention this. I'm only going to dwell on this. But this goes to talking where nobody can hear either. If you're going to talk in the assembly, you are under solemn obligation to speak so everybody hears you. Otherwise, there's no reason to speak. See? It's like talking in tongues. I won't stay there because I surely don't want to offend anybody. And to another, interpretation of tongues. That is, say a person from Pakistan visited with us, and he stood up and spoke in Urdu. We don't know what he said. But somebody there did know what he said. So they tell you in English what he said in Urdu. And I don't doubt that Paul, who said he spoke in tongues more than they all, had this kind of a gift.
Amen.
When he go to these foreign countries, he didn't have to do like missionaries today have to go and first learn the language. Paul didn't have to do that. He was gifted by the Holy Spirit to speak their language, like Peter did on Pentecost. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. He spoke in the language, the native language of the people. They could understand Hebrew language also, but he spoke in the native language of the people to show them that this was God. God was doing this. Now, I don't doubt if the church, professed church, can ever get straightened out, it'll revolutionize missions.
Amen.
But all these work at that one and self-same spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit. He's the one doing this. The distribution of the gifts. Now I want to look a little more at that 1 Corinthians 12 text. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, that's the government of it, but the same Lord. That's Jesus. Jesus administrated. And there are diversities of operations, that's the expression, but it's the same God. So here the whole Godhead is involved in these gifts. The Holy Spirit, if you want to start from the top down, God gives them, Jesus administers them, and the Holy Spirit distributes them.
Right.
How's that for divine work? So if you, let's say tonight, I'll single out Brother Jeremy. He's an exhorter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see, I trust everybody can see this. He's an exhorter. God gave him to be an exhorter. Jesus is administering how he uses the gift, and the Holy Spirit's the one that actually distributed the gift to him. See? Now, when Peter talks about these, in the Corinthians, they're gifts. In Romans 12, that Brother Seth read, their administrations of faith. Same thing. We're talking about spiritual gifts that he said in the church. Same thing. And here's what Romans 12 says. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the measure of faith. And previously he said to every one of us is given faith according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That's an expression of faith. Same thing, same spiritual gift. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth. Yeah, that's what it says. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, see? So that there the same gifts are expressions of personal faith.
Yes.
Gifts that God put in the church, that Jesus administers in the church, and this Holy Spirit distributed in the church. Now Peter, he views the gifts from another viewpoint. As every man hath received the gift, see, we'll talk about gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, so the grace of God. This is the grace of God working in the people. This gift that they have, God gave it, Jesus administers it, the Holy Spirit distributes it, but grace is the context in which it's administered. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is, as God's spokesman, in other words. Let him speak as God's spokesman. You say, well, I'm not sure whether that's what God means, but don't say it. Then don't say it. If any man minister, that serve, help, assist, let him do as of the ability God giveth. that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise forever. Gifts or endowments or aptitudes, administrations, miraculous abilities that God, these are not natural abilities. Everybody understands this, the trust. These are not natural abilities that Jesus administers. They're operations, that is, they work. These are not theoretical. They're not just something you talk about or something that ought to be. These are actually working, functioning. And they're manifestations, that is, they're expressions that have been put into the person by God, controlled by Jesus, and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, in the body of Christ, the preeminent gifts are the teaching gifts. Now, this is, would not be popular in today's culture, but this is true, that the teaching gifts. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that. These others don't come till after that. If these aren't in the church, the others, they're not going to be there. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, plural, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Yes, but the teaching gifts, they're the primary gifts, the fundamental gifts. They're the ones that prepare the people for the execution and reception of the other gifts. Now, as time has progressed, these gifts have kind of waned. You say, well, does that mean Jesus isn't giving them? Yeah. Yes. That is what it means. Because Jesus doesn't work in something that man, in an environment man has created. That's not where Jesus works. So when we urge people, as much as in them is, to live by faith and walk in the Spirit, do it. If you're not doing it, then start doing it. Because that's what creates this environment in which God distributes, God gives the gifts. It's the environment in which Jesus administers the gifts. It's the environment in which the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts and they're actually expressed. Now, I trust that that all of you can see this, because it's actually it's quite marvelous. It's like a guarantee. If we can get into the flow, I'm not saying we're not progress. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this thing, you never reach the peak of this. Nobody reaches the peak of this. But you get into the flow of this, then more divine works are manifested. Amen. And people become more stable. Yes. And people are no more children tossed Amen. To and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Spiritual gifts. Now, we've just kind of touched the hem of the garment. Yes. But it's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
To think about God's not using angels to do this. See, man's a little lower than the angels, but he's not using angels to do this. He's using redeemed people to do this. There are people this is the kind of people God produces. And they're not instantly produced, you understand? But that's their design, to grow up to be have you divine utility.
Amen.
You as an individual want to be someone God can use.
Amen.
If you're not careful, you'll place the emphasis on what you know. That's not where it should be. It should be on who you know.
Yeah. Amen.
You put the emphasis there.
Amen.
And Jesus is a faithful minister.
Amen.
And
Amen.
These things not only will begin to grow, we've witnessed some advancement in this area here.
Amen.
We're not strangers to this. But we're just beginning, brethren.
Thank you, Brother Given.
Amen.
You know, those are good labors in the kingdom. This is what we were talking about tonight, what Brother Given, Brother Seth was talking about tonight. These are productive labors in the kingdom. See, this isn't like for just some of the members of the body. It doesn't say that he just a few. This is something that God has poured out His Spirit on His body, and it behooves us then to understand what gifts God's given you. How can you use a gift if you don't know you have it? How can you exercise what God's given you if you have never understood what's working in you?
Uh-huh.
So see, and it's identified as you are a member of the body, as you are with the body, you will be able to identify things that it's profitable when you exercise it. And this is very important. This is not mysterious. I mean, it may be mysterious to the flesh, but this is not mysterious in the spirit. You know, when you edify the saints and you have a great joy in doing a certain thing, you can kind of, that's your indication. Okay, look at this. You're the Holy Spirit's helping you to be effective.
Amen.
In exhorting or comforting or in speaking. This is God, and so it's only as you understand that and that you can receive an exhortation to walk then in the gifts that God's given you.
Amen.
How are you going to walk in it if you don't even know you have it? And so this is something very personal at the same time between you and Christ and your place in the body. See, Jesus really doesn't leave anybody behind.
Amen.
He's using every member of the body. When you come together, Paul says, one has this and one has that. What's he talking about? We're all profitable as we share what God has given us. And that's really the important thing, is to not hold back. If you can help, if you feel inclined to do, well, then do it. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I can guarantee you, if you're doing it to bless the body, it will be received. See, this is something. This is the Holy Spirit at work in you.
Amen.
And He can use. I used to think when I was younger, He can use even me. See, the devil, he tries to get you not to express it. He'll say things like, "Yeah, but that's not really the most important thing. Just let the important
Now see, now if the Holy Spirit is moving you and showing you things, it is very important to share it, right? Am I right there?
Amen.
As you do this, what happens? You receive comfort in that you feel like you feel more like a part of the body, and the members get what God gave you to give them. This is very vital, that these gifts are actually functioning. Now, Corinth had a lot of gifts, right? They really did have a lot of gifts. But see, it wasn't benefiting them because they weren't being done in the right manner. They themselves, there was things that were wrong. And so see, the gifts, even though they had them, the gifts all by itself isn't going to fix everything. A person out of their worship to God, see, as you give yourself to the Lord, your gifts will be profitable in the assembly. So I would exhort you first to know what God's put in you, and then to use what God's put in you in the assembly.
Amen.
Specifically, we come together. He says, let all things be done unto edification, right? We want to build one another up. We want to be used by God to build each other up in our most holy faith. And not only is it possible, it's very probable. If you come with a desire to be a blessing and you're willing to submit one to another in love, God will use you to benefit the other members of the body. We don't have to guess about this. The Holy Spirit here, God's here, Christ is here, the angels are looking over us. Tell you this is, see, the angels are looking into assemblies where the gifts are active, right? They desire to look into these things. They're learning things about God that they can't see any other way than when the body expresses itself in love.
Amen.
So, 1 Corinthians 12:31, I'm going to exhort you with this. Zealously strive after the better gifts.
Amen.
The better ones, the ones that are going to promote faith and love and see these things that we desperately need. We want to come and be comforted, right? And be built up. At the same time, sometimes there's some exhortation that needs to happen. In fact, this is the time, right? But see, it's not apart from the other. It's not like I don't even know that you could be exhorted in a good way without there being some comfort and there's going to be some love and there's be some. See, all this comes together. It's a big thing. This is what it says, Ephesians 4:15. But that you speaking the truth in love, and that is the big part, right? You speak the truth in love. Now, this is for the right purpose, for the right, you have the right desire. You want to edify the saints. You're not just speaking it. You speak it for the right reason. It's speaking the truth in love, may in all things grow up to him. Isn't that interesting the way you just said that? To grow up to him. Christ is bringing you, he's transforming you into the image of his son. How? As we minister one to another. As the body grows, we're growing together. We're getting stronger. We're getting more confident. We have more assurance. Why? Because we're allowed to express what God's given us. And then when you express it, what happens? God gives you more. Grow up into him, to him who is the head, even Christ. So this is it's a responsibility, but it's a great, great privilege to be able to speak in a way that others are built up. And then you see you can have this great confidence that Christ is in you of a truth, that you can help in God's kingdom. I don't think God has any appendages in his kingdom. And things that are off to the side, they don't really important. No, it's the whole body. It is important that we all exercise what God has given us and use it. And when we do, God will be glorified and we'll be stronger together. So I thank God for these gifts that Brother Given, Brother Seth went over tonight. See, these are marvelous things. We never want these things to diminish.
Yeah.
We want to be built up in our most holy faith. Brother Given?
I do think it's important to note that you can't minister until you're grown up. until you grow up. That's the purpose for growing up into all things, so that you can minister. So if a person has like clumsy expressions and things mm-hmm. like this, the gifts are to promote the spiritual growth, so these gifts can be ministered. They
yes.
can't be ministered in a state of juvenile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is why the gifts need to be functioning in the
That's
assembly,
right.
so that we can grow up into Him, right?
That's right.
Amen. Sister?
I was thinking about sometimes whenever we can identify things that the Lord has given us, these gifts that we have. I think I'm guilty anyway in the past of having an agenda mm-hmm. of what these things that I minister will produce.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to
mm-hmm.
be careful about that. This is the
mm-hmm.
Lord's work.
Yes.
Jesus is the head. He's
Amen.
The one that's given the gifts unto
mm-hmm.
men as He sees fit. And we do want to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
The manifold grace
yes.
that He's given. We
Amen.
Want to enter in fully to the work that He's given us and put our hand to the ministry. And then He will affect
yes.
the things that He desires to see. He's working all things together for good.
Yes.
We can trust that. So we mm-hmm. we give our measure fully to Him
mm-hmm.
in the ministry of the body.
Amen.
And then is whenever we can be assured that our work in the Lord will not be in vain.
Yes. Amen. 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 Brother Justin and Sister Tanya.
Brother Gibbon said about growing up before you can properly minister. Verse number 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part."
That's right.
"Maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love." Now I was thinking about a building
mm-hmm.
coming together, and think about a board in that building. What that board had to go through to become a board. It came from a tree, but it had to be cut down, it had to be shaped, it had
mm-hmm.
to be fitted to be a board. And think about the nail. The nail didn't just start a nail, it started iron ore, and it had to be beaten out, and it had to be fitted and fashioned into that nail before it could drive itself through the wood and the structure could come together. It's the
mm-hmm.
same thing for each and every one of us. We have to grow up in our measure into Christ so that we can utilize the gift that He's given us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Sister Simon?
I was reading our pamphlet here, and it says on it, "Jesus always keeps the candle of hope burning, and He'll never blow it out." And I just had a small thought about that. And without Jesus, we felt hopeless and helpless, and with Him, our hearts are able to have this reassurance and hope-filled joy. So, we keep close, we learn, we grow, and we get rewarded to a heavenly home.
Yeah.
So I don't see any other option. My desire is definitely to continue to grow stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Brother Jonathan, Brother
Seth, he introduced this topic very well. He said that men don't choose these positions, that God does this.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that it's not the way. It's not men that do it.
Yeah.
Because you know, like when it comes to the apostles, Judas was chosen so that the scriptures might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. Now, you know, in Kings, it says it repented the Lord that He made him king. You'll
mm-hmm.
read that sometimes, but you will never read something like this. And it repented the Lord that He made Paul an apostle, right?
Mm-hmm.
He chose faithful men to fill out this work. And likewise,
Amen.
God is able to fill this very thing in the body of Christ to appoint faithful men to each
mm-hmm.
part of the body. That will function well. They are capable.
Mm-hmm.
He makes them capable. He makes them faithful in that too.
Yes.
And so that's an exhortation for me to remain faithful in what I've been given, because
yeah.
I'm able to do it by God's grace.
Amen.
He put me there. He's able
yes.
to do it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good, Jeremy.
In the kingdom of God, growth is expected. It's not just expected. This is the way the kingdom is.
That's right.
Grow.
Yeah.
And we start off somewhere, but
mm-hmm.
we don't just stay there. I was thinking of what Brother Gibbons talking about. You told me one time that there was a time where you couldn't speak, but you asked Brother Gibbon, "Well, can I come in and start the heat? Because I have a heart to do something for God's
uh-huh.
people." Well, you didn't stop there. You didn't
yeah.
stop by just turning
mm-hmm.
the heat on.
Yes.
And I remember when I first heard you speak, I was very blessed and was encouraged in the things you said. It was a refreshing waters renewal. I was like, this man has a heart for God. Well, I didn't think about the day where you had a heart to do something for God's people, but you couldn't. You didn't do anything else. But you didn't stay there. You grew. And God, he is the one who distributes his people amongst the body where he sees fit for us to grow. And for a purpose, this salvation is preparing us to do great things in
glory.
That's
right. Yes. That's right.
We're not just growing up to stay here. See,
that's right.
See, the matter of the kingdom is not just it doesn't have an ending. The growth continues. I mean, in this world, we start off like babies, and then we get old and we die. But that's not the same. This is not the same thing in the kingdom of God. Yeah. We are starting off small here, but in glory, we're going to be doing great things.
Yes.
And so we want to be prepared for that. Like Brother Gibbons says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. We're putting all of our faith and all of our confidence in Christ Jesus, who is working on our behalf to grow us up to be useful in his kingdom. To be workers for God himself. So we're going to be with him, joint heirs in his kingdom in glory. So this is something to be encouraged by, to be ready, to be used by God. For and Brother Seth said this. He said, sometimes you don't know what God will use other men to show you what your gift is.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Lord does that. He does. Yes. We want to be ready.
Amen.
To be used by God.
Yeah, I don't want to people to misunderstand what I was meaning, because it's important. I think everyone has been given a measure.
Yeah.
And so according to that measure, you can express these gifts. It is, in fact, that's the only way the gift's going to grow and you're going to mature, right?
Amen.
So, I mean, but obviously, you don't start out in anything. In the world, it'll teach you this. You don't start out in anything being an expert.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
You're going to have to start at the ground floor, as it were, and work your way up as you use whatever it is, whatever trait you're learning, whatever function you're doing. As you do that, you become more proficient in it. It's the same thing in these gifts. As you utilize them, you will grow up into Christ, and you will be a greater blessing than, I mean, talking about to the body, than you were at the beginning.
Whatever you're able to do, do, and then you'll increase, then the ability will increase.
Amen. That's right. Yes, brother.
Yeah, the 1 Corinthians 12 text about the different functions of the body. He placed them as it pleased him.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So in the world, they say, you can be whatever you want to be. But in the kingdom, he places it where it pleases him.
Amen.
And we say, in the kingdom, we should say, you can do whatever he pleases.
That's
whatever
right.
Whatever he pleases.
Amen.
Wherever he pleases you, that's what you can do.
Amen. That's right.
We see this. We see it played out in the scriptures. See, Paul... When he was converted, he began doing what he could see and what he had a burden to
That's
do.
It. Mm-hmm. That's
when
it.
Peter, he was preaching the wonderful works of God, and when he heard that accusation about these men being drunk, he preached the gospel because there was a burden.
Yes.
Yeah.
He saw what was going on.
Yes.
He had a burden, and he spoke out of that burden.
Amen.
Yes.
And you can see this in brethren that are that labor for God. They have a burden to do what they're doing. God placed them somewhere, and so they have a burden to do it. They have the ability to do it, and that comes from God. So in finding, I think there's a lot of loose talk about spiritual gifts, and people say things. We want to find our spiritual gift. No, we want to find God.
Yes,
amen.
That's right.
And when you find the Lord, then He puts you to work, because He puts you in the body as it pleased Him.
Amen.
And so if we, it's just like the devil, isn't it? To take something like this, a function of the body that God is placing as it pleased Him, and to make somebody seek after themselves. What do I want to do?
Right.
If we find, in quote, we find what God wants us to do when we find Him.
Yes. Amen.
In other words, He shows it to
us.
That's right.
The Lord will use other members of the body. We've probably all experienced this. That somebody else will help us see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we
mm-hmm.
find that in seeking Him.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Yes. Brother Gibbon, then Sister Nikki, then
give kind of an example of John Mark. Now, when yes. he first went, he carried the baggage.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But that was such an important work.
Oh, yes.
That when he took off,
uh-huh.
Paul didn't want to take him anymore. See?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't a menial.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
that's right.
But then he recovered himself.
So yes.
He recovered, and it was a blessing. But
that's right.
That's an example. You do what you're able to do.
Yes.
You do.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's all you really can do, right?
That's right.
Sister Nikki?
Yeah, I was considering how these things are not strange to us. Because
yeah.
God has been teaching us from the beginning
mm-hmm.
that we are not made to be alone.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
right.
When he created Adam,
yes.
he created Eve. He didn't
that's
make a bunch of
it.
Men before he created the woman.
That's
he
right.
He created Adam.
Yes.
He created Eve. And together he called them Adam.
Amen.
And how... I was thinking how the body of Christ is on a much grander scale.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But it's like the same principle.
Here. Yes.
Because together they were fruitful.
Yes.
Together, the body of Christ, when they come
yes.
together, they are fruitful.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
There's a sense in which it wasn't good for Jesus to be alone.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Mr. Maddie?
This matter of spiritual maturity, in the body, we age at a relatively constant rate.
Mm-hmm.
We can expect it, and a year passes the same for everyone. But with spiritual maturity is not confined by the confines of time.
Mm-hmm.
We mature spiritually at the rate that we are... in fellowship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The more you give yourself to the Lord, the more that time that you spend together with the Lord, the more that maturity is going to manifest itself, and the more you're going to grow in the Lord. We've been able to see this as an example tonight. We saw Brother Seth get up. He's mm-hmm. he's young, and but he was able to minister in a profitable way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that he's been spending time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Brother Gibbon, who's given many, many years of
mm-hmm.
service to the Lord. And he was very profitable
mm-hmm.
in the things that he shared tonight.
Yes.
So we can see that it's as you put your hand to the work that God's given you to do
mm-hmm.
that we reach these, like when a baby is born, when a baby's ready to be born, they're said to be mature. They're ready to be born.
Mm-hmm.
So they've reached that stage of maturity. But as soon as they're born, you're looking for other milestones of growth.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for them to mature in other ways. And so... through exercise and through use and through receiving this nourishment that we continue to grow.
Amen.
I'm sure Brother Gibbon would be the first one to tell you that he's still growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all still growing.
Yeah.
And the Lord is bringing us along
mm-hmm.
In that growth and maturity as we continue to labor in his kingdom.
Amen. Sister Nikki.
Yes, I was also considering what Sister Maddie was just talking about, too, about as we mature
mm-hmm.
in Christ and grow up in him, we appreciate the members of the body even more so.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking when Jeremy and I first got married, I thought my way was always the best, and I could just do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. But now, I am so thankful
yes.
for him, and my way is not always the best. And I depend on him a lot more than what I knew then.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him a lot more
yes,
now
yes.
than what when first was married.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that. I enjoy laboring with him
yes.
much more now
yes.
than,
amen.
Than when we first were
yes.
married. So the more we labor together
mm-hmm.
and the more we grow up, we appreciate one another, but we can also enjoy
mm-hmm.
the Lord
yes.
in
Amen.
Our labors
Amen.
Because we're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing
yes.
your function, like Brother Aaron was just talking
uh-huh.
about a minute ago, Jesus places you
yes.
in the body. Well, you're going to be the most satisfied
mm.
doing your own function.
Yes.
Amen.
It's not time to be another
Amen.
Person's function.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
Back to 1 Corinthians 12 again. Mm-hmm. There's some members of the body that are more apparent, more mm-hmm. visible. Mm-hmm. Other members are less visible, just like in these bodies. Mm-hmm. There are functions that you can see, apparently,
right.
very readily. Other functions you don't see, but those functions that you don't see have to function.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
They're just as necessary.
Amen.
They're
Amen.
A different type of, yes. Of part, different type mm-hmm. of member. And see, I can think of, I mean, I can name
oh, yeah.
brethren like this. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a burden Amen. For something.
That's yes. right.
And Amen. Everyone needs encouraged and yes. confirmed to do for the Lord what yes. they have a yeah. burden and an ability to do.
That's Amen. Right. Amen.
I mean, Sister Anita mm-hmm. is one of these that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. She's necessary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She is a minister to all of us.
Yes.
But she performs something that is less visible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's yes. still it's necessary.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, there comes a time when even the most minuscule gift becomes all important.
Yes. Yeah. That's Amen. Right. That's Amen. Right. Amen.
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 Yeah, the yes. scriptures talk about a cup of cool water that doesn't, you know, when you give yeah. someone, that's you're going to be rewarded for that.
Yes.
And right. that it wouldn't seem like much unless you're, you know, dying of thirst.
That's right. Amen.
Everything.
That means everything.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes,
Brother Rob is another member like
yes,
that.
Yes, amen.
That's right. I'm constantly blessed by yes. Brother Rob.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Sister Barb?
Yeah, the environment that is produced by each member doing its function mm-hmm. is actually more provoking mm-hmm. for the rest to enter in.
Yes.
So it's like we build up momentum as we minister,
yes.
and as we fill the measure, and as we minister mm-hmm. the gift that we've been given, mm-hmm. we increase and we
yes.
excel, and we make the environment conducive much
yes.
more for the adding of all
Amen.
The
yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes, Brother Seth?
You need to do all things of the Lord. You don't need to do things halfway.
Yes, amen. Did you hear that? We need to do all things as unto the Lord. We don't want to do things halfway.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sister?
Yes, this provides for the general comfort, but also it eases the burden.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever everyone enters into their area of giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see that that's something God has determined is, mm-hmm.
yeah.
is needful for that mm-hmm. that group of believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole body is really comforted and mm-hmm. the burden
yeah.
is distributed.
Yes.
And things are done better than somebody trying to come in and fill in because that's needful and the person that's supposed to be doing that isn't.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you mean there. I was sick one time, and so I gave my lesson to Matthew. I said, could you go ahead and do this lesson for, because I was sick. And so he came, I asked him later, I said, did you do that? He said, I couldn't do that. He said, so I just, you know, this did my own, but it was on short notice, so I thought, well, I just give him the notes, but the other can't work. It doesn't work that way. You can't. You really can't fill another saint's shoes. You can't.
You can't.
God set the members in the body as it
Amen.
Pleased Him, and that's the way it works.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
A burden if you try.
That's right.
In prison, there was something that Paul needed that Onesiphorus was the only one that had given.
Yeah.
So he journeyed to Rome. He had he was trying to find Paul. It was in Rome. He didn't go to Joplin. He went to Rome.
Yeah.
And he found Paul. But see, God sent him.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Because that's what Paul needed.
Yes. Then he gives you grace to do what he sends you to
that's
do.
That's right.
Yeah. And he gave Matthew grace to do the lesson. But
he
would have fell on his face if he had tried to do that.
Well, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Yes.
Sufficient unto the day is the grace thereof.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you got to really be doing something to need grace, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you, brother. That was very profitable consideration tonight. Let's sing number 139 in Best Loved.